Today we're going to learn part of a talk of the Rebbe in 1956, in 19th of Kislev, which is a very important day in the Hasidic Chabad movement in particular, but in general in the Hasidic movement. Very briefly, 19th of Kislev is the day of liberation of the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad movement, in 1798. The whole story is not for now, but the point is, what we're going to learn is just one phrase, really one, two, three, four, five words that the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, he wrote in a letter. And the Rebbe goes around these five words, which are actually two fundamental words. And then the rest is whatever, what needs to be made to make it a phrase. But these two words are fundamental in understanding what Hasidus is. What's the whole thing of Hasidic ideas and thoughts and so on? And this is basically the whole point of Yutes Kislev, the 19th of Kislev, because that's the moment that the Hasidic ideas and thoughts starts really, really spreading out around the world. It started very small in Poland with the Baal Shem Tov, and then it spread out a little bit on that part of the world, Russia, Lithuania, and all those places, but really started moving in Yutes Kislev, after Yutes Kislev, which is the liberation of the Alter Rebbe. And just one small point in order to understand the importance of this, the Alter Rebbe was actually imprisoned because he was teaching Hasidus. The Russians didn't see it 100% like that. They thought he was giving money to the Ottoman Empire, who was at war with Russia. But the whole point actually was, you're teaching too much. You're opening things that shouldn't be open. That was the problem. And the liberation of the Rebbe meant you should not only continue with your work of opening and so on, you should increase. And that's what that Rebbe did. And that's why actually we're learning over here today. These five words were actually not said by the Alter Rebbe. They were said by the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, Rebbe Rashab, in year 1901 or 1902, the Rebbe Rashab, for some reason, I don't really know why, he was not in Lubavitch for Yutes Kislev. Yutes Kislev, 19th of Kislev, is one of those days that you make Farbrengens, Hasidic meetings and so on, all the Hasidim, and they want to hear the Rebbe, and they want to see the Rebbe. For some reason, the Rebbe in that time, the Rebbe Rashab, was not in Lubavitch and was not available, so the Hasidim were really, really sad. Really, really a difficult time. The Rebbe should be here. I don't know why he wasn't there. And the Rebbe sent a letter. The Rebbe sent a letter that came late to Lubavitch. It didn't arrive in Yutes Kislev. It arrived a few days later. And the Hasidim were on fire because of the letter. And they thought to celebrate Yutes Kislev some other day. Let's do another Yom Tov. Let's make something else. And they showed the letter to many, many great, great sages of that time. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, all kinds of interesting figures of the time, and they were also very excited about the letter. What did the letter say? The complete letter we're not going to learn now. We're just going to learn five words of the letter. Those are the five important words over here. So let's go. This is actually in Likutei Siches of the Rebbe, the second volume, page 463. We're just going to learn a part of it. Everybody knows that the 19th of Kislev is a moment of gathering and is the moment of the Alter Rebbe, the founder of the Chabad movement. He wrote Tanya, which is a book on the mysticism of Judaism, and also he wrote a version of the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, and he was imprisoned because he was revealing actually a particular part of the Torah, which is the hidden part of the Torah, and he did it in a public way and in an open way, and this generated basically his imprisonment. And of course, 19th of Kislev celebrates that he was liberated from imprisonment. He was actually in Peterburg, and his prison cell is still today a museum. You can actually go and see the place, small place, interesting place. Now, the whole idea of learning Hasidus, learning Teres Hasidus, in particular Teres Hasidus Chabad, this is what the Rebbe is talking about, is besides all the good things of learning Torah in general, and this applies to any part of the Torah, revealed Torah, that means Shulchan Aruch, Halacha, laws, and so on, or this hidden part of the Torah. It's not just that. It's not just learning Torah. There's more to it. This is Penimius HaTorah, the innermost part of the Torah. And this, on this depends the everyday life. And on this depends fulfilling, keeping the mitzvahs, the commandments, in thought, in speech, and in action. And on this depends, in Yiddish, it's a very nice word, Lebedikait, life. Like, yeah, are you alive or not? This is what Hasidus is talking about. This is actually the whole Hasidus. Are you alive or not? Lebedikait. In the letter that the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad, sent for the Hasidim, for Yutes Kislev in year 1901-1902, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad wrote five words, among other things, of course, in Hebrew. Oire v'chayus nafsheinu nitan lanu. What is Yutes Kislev? What is it all about? So he says, light and energy, chayus is like energy, enthusiasm of our soul was given to us. Just two words that are fundamental words. Oire v'chayus, light and enthusiasm. We have to understand these two things. What are they? What are they? In a very simple way. So the Rebbe says, chayus, this enthusiasm, this livelihood, lebedikait, there are two types of chayus, there are two types of life. One is the life of the soul, and the Rebbe is going to explain, so patience. One is the light of the soul, and the other one is the chayus ha-nefesh. Oir ha-nefesh v'chayus ha-nefesh. This is in Hebrew, this part is in Hebrew. The light of the soul and the enthusiasm of the soul. And the chayus, which is actually life, life of the soul. Let's put it this way, light and life. There is chayus, this life, which is according to the body, and it divides itself on the different parts of the body, members of the body and so on, organs of the body, and each one according to its need. And then there's a more general type of life, chayus, which the Rebbe is going to call oir, light, which doesn't have any divisions. There's a particular part of the soul that goes to each part of the body, and there's a general part of the soul that encompasses and takes the whole body at once. As we can find this same thing, the Rebbe brings it in halacha, in a law, in a particular law, that we have a measurement of food, which is called kakoiseves. Kakoiseves agasa is the amount of food that a person is forbidden to eat in Yom Kippur. We're talking about Jews and the laws of Jews. It doesn't really matter the whole detail, but the point is it's a measurement. Is the measurement of food. If a person eats less than this amount of food in Yom Kippur, which is forbidden actually, he should fast and so on, for Jews, of course. If a person eats less than this amount, did not transgress the Torah. You didn't do the right thing, but only from that amount on, we can say a person has a punishment and so on. Okay, now the point is, that this amount of food, it doesn't depend on the size of your body. Suppose you're a huge person, tall and fat or whatever. The amount of food you cannot eat is a kakoiseves. It's like 58 grams, something like that. And if you're a baby, a small baby, the amount of food, okay, babies are not liable of anything, but what's trying to say is, it doesn't matter what kind of body you have. You're a small boy, a small girl, whatever, you cannot eat this amount. This is the amount that the Torah says it's good enough to feel satiated at some point. I have something in my stomach. Okay, in Yom Kippur, you can't. So that's the amount. It doesn't matter what your body looks like. Even though the body actually needs food, and the food brings together, ties together the soul and the body, as we know, the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement, that he brings on the ideas of the Arizal, that there's a verse that says that not only on bread lives a person, rather on what comes out of the mouth of God. That's what it says. So the Baal Shem Tov explains that we live on the spark of godliness that is inside the food. That's what gives us actually life. However, in this itself, we know that the body needs food. Like, okay, very nice, spiritual food. Like, I'm going to give you a lot of dollars, spiritual dollars. I don't know. I need like real ones. The same thing happens with food, of course. Yeah, we live on the godly spark. Yeah, can you give me something to eat? I'm hungry. Don't come to me with sparks and godliness. I'm hungry. I want to eat something. Having said that, there are two levels. You should know there are two levels, as we were explaining before. There's the level of food that is measured according to the body. A bigger person needs more food. But there's a measure of food that is same for everybody. A certain amount of food that anybody can say, yes, I ate something. Even though you would eat more than that. Yeah, but I got something. I ate something. So we see that even in halacha, in law, in the regular life, there are these two types of measurements. Something that is equal for everybody and something that is not same for everybody. And this is the whole thing of oir and chayus. These two words that we're going to play with them all along the talk of the Rebbe. Oir v'chayus, light and life. Oir v'chayus. Oir, light, is a simple thing. Simple thing means has no colors, has no shapes, no nothing. It's a simple thing. The fact that we do see light in different colors, that's when the light gets invested into a vessel. A white vessel, a yellow vessel, a red vessel, whatever, the light is going to show itself. You will see the light when it goes through a vessel with the color of the vessel. But the light itself doesn't have any color. It's simple. Even when the light is into the vessel, so to speak, the color of the vessel does not get impregnated. The light does not acquire the color of the vessel. You see the light through the vessel in a different color, in a specific color. But that doesn't mean that the light has a color. The light doesn't have any color. It's easier, the Rebbe doesn't bring it, but it's easier to see this example with water. Regular water doesn't have a color. But if you put water in a red glass, you see red water. Is the water really red? No, the water is non-color, transparent. But you see it through a red glass, so then you see the red water. Same thing happens over here. Light does not acquire a color by being into a vessel. Light never changes. Nothing changes the light. As our sages bring, it's an example, of course, the sun shines for everybody. It goes on everybody, on everything, and it doesn't change. For the sun, it doesn't make any difference if there are 2,000 people looking at the sun or nobody looking at the sun in the middle of the desert. It doesn't make any difference. The sun just shines and gives light and never changes, so to speak, never changes. In the words of the Rebbe, the sun illuminates in the innermost chamber of the king, which is like a very special and important place, or in a garbage can. It's the same thing. For the light, there's no difference. The same thing happens with the soul. There's the chayus, the livelihood, life of the soul, that we call it oir. We're going to call it the light of the soul. It's true, it's life. But now, we're playing all along with these two words. We're going to say that something is called the light of oir nefesh, the light of the soul. This light of the soul, it's a simple thing, just as light, as we explained before. It's a simple thing, doesn't have any shapes, doesn't have any colors, doesn't make any difference which body it has to give life to. It's just light. And therefore, even though this light, it's together with the body, and in order to put together this light with this body, you need food. That's the only way you can keep yourself alive. Because, as we explained before, you need a holy spiritual spark that is inside the food. However, for everybody is the same measurement. Again, there's a certain amount of food, kakoiseves, in this example that we brought by Yom Kippur, that it's good for everybody. That doesn't mean that you're full and you can't eat anymore. No. But you can continue with your day. You're not going to continue saying, I'm hungry. Okay, so you ate something. And that measurement is the same measurement for everybody, a small child and a huge adult. Doesn't make any difference. That's oir, that's light. It doesn't have levels. And it's not different according to the vessel where it goes to. So everybody, each one of us, has a light of the soul inside of us, regardless of the body. Point number one. Now comes chayus, life. Chayus ha-nefesh, the life of the soul. It's not the same thing. Life of the soul means that there's an inner life that gets invested in the body and goes revealed or is revealed according in each part of the body according to the level of that part of the body. It gets divided according to the organs in the brain. There's a greater, bigger, whatever, revelation of the life of the soul, not the light, the life of the soul. And in the rest of the members, it's exactly the same thing, a lesser amount of life of the soul, to the point that you can go to the hills, and there's a very small and contracted amount of life in the hills, to the point that our sages, he brings always the Rabbi Nachson, it's a very interesting long book, on it's like Pirkei Avos, like Ethics of Our Fathers, but more detailed. Very interesting. He brings over there that the hills are called Malach HaMaves Shebadam, the angel of death in the human being. Because you can't really distinguish whether a person is alive or dead just like by looking at the hills. So you need something more. The hills is like a quote-unquote dead part of the body. Of course it's not dead and there are cells and blood. Okay, I know. It's just like dead part of the body. And the idea is, of course, not that the hills are dead. The point is that there's a lesser, smaller revelation of the life of the body in the hills. When you look at the face of a person, you see real life, happy, sad, or whatever the case is. But you see life. The same thing happens in mitzvahs. I should make one point before moving on, which is simple, but I think it's important to mention it. The Rebbe is going to talk about, the Rebbe was talking to Jews. I was not there in 1957. I wasn't born, but whatever. I suppose that the Rebbe was talking to Jews, of course. So the Rebbe brings examples that are good for Jews. These particular examples that the Rebbe is going to bring are not good for non-Jews. The examples are not good. I'm going to mention them anyway. Why? Because I'm convinced that even though these examples are not good, anybody with a little bit of effort, whatever, can find examples for non-Jews also. And this is one of the things that Hasidus brings about. We'll see. Let's go for the examples for the Jews. The same thing happens not just with a person, that we have oir and chayus, like light and life, not just on the soul itself, without division, oir, divisions, chayus. The same thing happens with the mitzvahs. With the commandments, there are two parts to each mitzvah. There's a life, chayus, pashut, simple, without any divisions. And there's a part of chayus, of life, that is divided for each mitzvah different. What does that mean? So the Rebbe brings like that. There's a levedikait, there's a enthusiasm that a person has keeping the commandments, because they are the, what's a commandment? What's a mitzvah? It's a will of God. It's what God wants from you. He wants you to do this. He's metzave. He orders you to do this and that, or not to do this and that, and so on. And why do you do that? Because you love God. You love the Torah. You love, in the example that Rebbe is bringing, any other Jew. It's not an obligation for non-Jews, but whatever. Rebbe is bringing just an example. Because you love God, so you do what God says. And you do it with levedikait, with enthusiasm, yeah? Over here, in this case, it doesn't really matter what the mitzvah is all about. What's the order? What did God tell you to do? I don't really care. I'm just going to do anything. And I'm going to do anything in the same way, because this is what God wants from me. Does it make sense to you? I don't care. Is it nice? I don't care. Is it interesting? I don't care. I don't care anything. This is just what God says I have to do, so I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna be happy by doing it, because this is what God wants from me. So the example of the Rebbe, tefillin, tzitzis, what difference does it make what the mitzvah is? I'm not even going to explain what tefillin, tzitzis. Doesn't really matter. The point is, whatever God tells me to do, I'll do it very happy. Just because it is a commandment, an order from God. That's point number one. That's like oir. Light. that doesn't make any difference what kind of body it gives life to, or the light of the sun. It doesn't care. The sun doesn't care where it shines, the room of the king, or a garbage can. Doesn't make any difference. Now let's go for the second part. There's a second part of the chayus, of the life, in each mitzvah, which actually depends on what kind of mitzvah we're talking about. They're all different. There are 613 mitzvahs for Jews, 7 mitzvahs for non-Jews, and the ramifications, and that's why I'm saying, the Rebbe doesn't say this, I'm adding this up in order to understand what we're talking about. What I'm trying to say is, a non-Jew can also keep the mitzvahs, because God says so. This is what the Rambam says. You have to keep them because God gave a Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, Mount Sinai, and so on. And there are two parts to it. There's a part where you keep it because this is what God said, and there's a part where you keep it enjoying it. This is what the Rebbe is going to say later. And you can learn to enjoy this also. It's not, I can't talk Lashon Hara. I would love to talk Lashon Hara, bad tongue about my neighbor because I saw him doing this and that. I can't. Okay, I'm going to suffer it. No, don't suffer it. Enjoy. Enjoy it. Because this brings peace to the world. This gives you the right perspective in life and so on. What do you care what the neighbor did? Or maybe go help him, whatever. Okay, so there's a second type of life that depends on every particular mitzvah. Because every particular mitzvah is a different type of bringing down God into the world. And the proof is that the reward for every mitzvah in the world to come, in Gan Eden, paradise, whatever, it's different for each mitzvah. It's not the same thing for every mitzvah. So we do see that every mitzvah produces a different godliness in the world. And this is the idea that the fifth Rebbe of Chabad wrote, that Yudes Kislev is Oire Vechayus, Nafsheinu Nitanan. The light and the life of our soul was given to us. Chassidus has an effect in these two things that we mentioned before. There's a Oire, there's a light, which is the same for everybody. And there's a Chayus, there's a enthusiasm, life, whatever, that is not the same for everybody. And this applies to the soul, to each one of us, and to the mitzvahs, to the commandments we do keep. How does it work? Between parentheses, the idea of light, because many people say that Hasidus came up with weird ideas and whatever, I don't know what they're talking about. The truth is that that's wrong. Hasidus is light. What's light? When you have a dark room, and you don't see what's inside the room, and suddenly you turn up the light. And now you see what's in the room. Did the light create the things that are in the room? There's a table, there's a bed, there's a chair, whatever. No. It was all there. You just didn't see it. Same thing happens with Hasidus. Hasidus sheds a new light into the Torah, into the world, into godliness, into understanding godliness, into what's a human being, and so on. It's not that it came up with new ideas or weird ideas. No. It was always there. People just didn't see it. That's the general idea of light, of Hasidus in general. Okay, so again, Hasidus brings a new light to these two concepts that we mentioned before. Oir v'chayus. How do you live this every single day? And the Rebbe explains in a very beautiful way, at least to me. Point number one. When a person does a mitzvah, and sometimes happens that a person does the mitzvah. This is paraphrasing, actually, I think it's Ishaya. Mitzvahs anashin melumada. People do mitzvahs because they're accustomed to that. It's an everyday thing, like blessings. Yeah, I have to make a blessing before drinking, before eating, before this. I got so used to it that it's whatever. I don't really have any enthusiasm on that. A person keeps the mitzvah just to fulfill its obligation. I have to give tzedakah. It's okay, I'm going to give tzedakah to a poor guy. I'm going to put it in the pushka, in the whatever, the place where you keep the money, and so on. But you don't really have enthusiasm. You don't really enjoy it at all. It's just, you do it because, I'm accustomed to that. My parents taught me that. Or you learned that, whatever. Which is not the case. It's not the same thing when a person does the mitzvah with chayus, with enthusiasm. You don't do the commandment just to fulfill your obligation toward God or toward other people. Rather, you do it because you really care. It matters to you. It's important to you. When that's the case, you're going to do it in the most beautiful way possible. Or, in interesting expression, hidur shebe hidur, the most beautiful of the most beautiful way. Interesting example, the Rebbe doesn't bring it over here, but Yutes Kislev is very close to Hanukkah. In Hanukkah, we light candles. If you learn the Talmud, and actually it's also brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, but if you learn the Talmud, with one candle every single day, you fulfill your obligation. That's it. You don't need more than that. Of course, we're not talking about somebody that doesn't have money, doesn't have the candles. Suppose you have the candles, you have the money, you can go buy candles. With one candle every night, you fulfill your obligation. But people light more than one candle. One candle one night, two candles second night, three candles third night, and so on. You don't need to. You're fine with one candle. I want to do it in the best way. And the Talmud calls this Mehadrin, the Mehadrin, the most beautiful of the most beautiful way of doing this. So that's an example. Why would a person do it in the best way? Because you love what you're doing, or you love the quote-unquote person, in this case God, or whatever, the person to whom you're doing this. Suppose you have to pull, you have to make the food for your children, and you hate your children because you're not completely, etc., in your mind, so you're going to do just whatever. It got burnt. Okay, it got burned. No, it. What's the difference? Just food. It doesn't have salt. Who cares? Food. Eat. But if you're doing the same thing for somebody you love, you're going to do your best effort, and you're going to taste it. It's too much salt, less salt, this and that. And you're going to serve it in a beautiful way. You're not going to throw the food. Here, eat your food. You don't do this. It's not nice. What's the difference? If you really appreciate the person to whom you're doing this. The same thing happens with God. If we appreciate him, we're going to fulfill his mitzvahs in the best way possible. That's point number one. That's what's learned out of oir, light. Just as light brings a new, I don't have a better word for this, but a new light, a new perspective on things, the same way light makes more beautiful your mitzvahs and so on. That's point number one. The light of Hasidus helps you to do things in the best way possible because you love God. That's point number one. Then there's a point number two, which is very interesting. If a person is not occupied in the mitzvah completely, that means with his every single power of his soul, he just does it with your power of acting, of doing, and not with your other strengths, like intellect or feelings. If your intellect and feelings are void of this mitzvah, they're really somewhere else. Like, you're doing a mitzvah, you're acting the mitzvah, but your thought is somewhere else, and your feelings are somewhere else. But you know, you're a religious person, so you have to do this, and you're going to do it. Okay, but you're somewhere else, basically. How much more so? Not only that your intellect and emotions are void of this, even more so if they are somewhere else, really. It's not just they're nowhere, quote unquote. You're really thinking about something else. You don't really care about the mitzvah, but you have to do it anyway. It could happen, says the Rebbe, if this is the way you fulfill the mitzvahs, if this is the way you relate to God and godliness and so on, it could happen that with time, at the end of some time, your intellect and your emotions are going to change the way you act. At some point in your life, you're going to realize, what am I doing? What is this? It's an empty action, makes no sense, meaningless to me, meaningless to everybody. I'm going to stop doing it. And this is not because you're crazy. This is because you're, quote unquote, honest with yourself. Like, I don't really care about this. Every time I do it, I'm thinking about something else. I'm just thinking, when am I going to finish this? I'm going to stop doing this. Why should I suffer? I don't want to suffer, so I'm not going to do this anymore. Bye-bye. No more mitzvahs. You should take care of what you really care. Go take care of about something else. This is what the intellect says to the action. Like, what are you doing? But the emotion says to the action, you don't love this, you don't like this, go do something else. You were not born to suffer. Forget it. Which is not the case when you have chayus, when you involve every single power of your soul, every single power of your life, strength of your life, whatever the case is, capacity of your life, in what you're doing, then you're never going to change it. Your intellect agrees to this, enjoys this, your emotions enjoy this, your action enjoy this, so you're not, there's no reason why to change it. It's not that I'm suffering doing mitzvahs. On the contrary, I'm enjoying this. I should not change it. Are you crazy? It's something you enjoy, you have to stop doing it? I don't want to stop doing it. That's one way of understanding oir v'chayus. Again, oir, light, applies to how beautiful you do this because you love more God, because you understand more about God, because you learned Hasidus and so on. And chayus means take every single part of your life and apply it to godliness. Enjoy what you're doing, or at least learn to enjoy what you're doing. There's another advantage in this idea of chayus when a person is doing mitzvahs, doing the commandments. That the advantage is that you're going to diminish your enthusiasm in other things. If you really enjoy Torah mitzvahs, so you're going to at least diminish, I'm not going to say stop, but at least diminish enjoying other things, whatever, movies and food and drinking and so on. Because a creation, every single human being, at the end of the day, we're limited. And when your enthusiasm is used in Kedusha, in sanctity, automatically you're diminishing your enthusiasm in other things, your levity, your livelihood, whatever, in other things. Because you have only a certain amount of enthusiasm. So where do you apply it? Where do you invest it? And if you don't invest it in Kedusha, in sanctity, mitzvahs, godliness, and so on, of course, you're going to invest it in not good things, in other things. Somewhere, you're going to do it. You're going to invest it. And this is just as we find by a mikveh, by a ritual bath. When a person has to go to the mikveh, his or her, it doesn't make any difference, the entire body has to be under the water. And that includes the hair. And if there is one, only one hair outside of the body, he didn't go to the mikveh. Just one hair, he didn't go to the mikveh. So he has to go again and so on. So the same thing happens over here. A person continues to be impure just because of one hair. You can say, man, one hair, who cares? No. One hair outside of the mikveh, you didn't go to the mikveh. You didn't go to the ritual bath. The same thing happens with Hasidus, with livelihood, with Torah, with mitzvahs. If you have one hair outside of Torah, one hair outside of mitzvahs, I'm sorry. You didn't get purified by the Torah, by the mitzvahs, and so on. Same thing happens with Avoida, says the Rebbe, with our job, work toward God, and so on. In particular, when we're talking about not just one hair, but a fundamental thing. What's this fundamental thing? When a person is keeping a mitzvah, is doing a commandment of God only with action, even if he's using his Chagas, or says the Rebbe over here, Chesed Gvura Tiferes, his kindness, his capacity of kindness, capacity of severity, and capacity of beauty, whatever, in Kedusha, in sanctity, in holy things. However, if you have things that are, at least for now, outside the mikveh, did not go into the ritual bath, which would be your brain, Chabad, Chochma bin Adas, wisdom and understanding and whatever, understanding in a different way. If, again, even if your emotions are into, in simple words, even if your emotions are into what you're doing, but your brain is somewhere else, your mind is somewhere else, you didn't do it properly. Definitely your mind is in not good things, and sooner or later, you're going to leave what you're doing. You're going to change what you're doing, which is what the Rebbe said before. only when you're completely into these waters, quote unquote, this mikveh, that the word tevila, which means the act of going to the mikveh, has exactly the same words as habitul. Habitul means nullification. So when a person is under the water, what do you have to think about? You have to think about God is everywhere. I'm nothing with God. Like I'm completely around. God is completely around me, just like the water is around me, and so on. That's tevila and bitul. It's the same letters, just ordered in a different way, in a different order. So when a person is completely into what he's doing, his emotions are there, his brain, his mind is there, with chayus, with livelihood, with life, and so on, and also with oid, with light of your soul, only there, automatically, you take out this enthusiasm from other things that are usually not good, and you stop having a relationship with those things that are usually not good, and you serve God with every single day, in every single way you can, not only keeping the mitzvahs, but also with your daily things from every day. Like when you do business and when you talk to people, you're serving God also. You don't say what you don't have to say, you don't cheat, and so on. You serve God 24 hours a day, says the Rebbe, every single day. Like the Rambam talks about this, and this is the meaning of a verse, in all your paths you should know God. In everything you say, you do in your life, you end up serving God by doing that. And through this, that in your own personal life, you take out, so to speak, the chayus, this enthusiasm from other things, and you just apply them to godliness. Through this, you refine the world you find around you. Whatever is around you, you refine the world around you. That's what I meant. And that's going to generate a verse that Rebbe mentions here. Is Ruach Atuma Avi Min Ha'aretz, the spirit of impurity I will destroy, I will take out from the earth. That means coming of Mashiach and redemption and so on. And the night is going to illuminate that just like the light of the day. That means that the darkness itself is going to start giving light, and it's going to be revealed the glory of God and all the flesh together. The Rebbe himself stresses this word. We're going to, the whole flesh is going to see godliness, and we're going to perceive as the word of God spoke. That's basically the talk of the Rebbe.
Very, very briefly, a summary of what we learned. There are two words, or the chayus, that actually mean two fundamental steps in serving God. There's a general step, and there's a particular step. And the meaning, how you apply this, is the general way means loving God by learning Hasidus and understanding who is God and so on. The greatness of God is what Hasidus talks about. By learning Hasidus, you end up loving God, and that gives you the power of doing the things that God commands you to do in the best way possible.
And then, by using every, that's oir, light, general. And then, it doesn't make a difference which mitzvah you're dealing with. And then, there's a thing that is more particular, chayus. By using every single capacity that God gave you, then you assure yourself, at least a little bit, that you're not going to change, you're going to enjoy Yiddishkeit, you're going to enjoy keeping the mitzvahs and so on, and that's going to bring the coming of Mashiach speedily in our days. Okay.